Thanks, Jacob, and thanks, New Hope, for leading us today. All of our children can go with Miss Joanne down to Children of God time for their time of prayer and praise and studying God's Word together. How many of you are ready to kick 2020 in the hind end and say goodbye? Yeah. Well, a lot of you and people across our country are going to make New Year's resolutions. How many of you have already made a New Year's resolution? Okay, that's good. I'm glad you haven't made resolutions, because I'm not one of those guys that likes resolutions. And here's why. I used to be a member of the YMCA. I went every lunchtime to work out, run, and have time with some coworkers where we would work out together. And every January 2nd, the gym would be jam-packed. There would be 100 faces that none of us recognized, and we were there every day. So we'd be like looking around like, who are all these new people? And about by February 1st, it was back to the same 30 or 40 people that were our regular workout buddies, that were our friends. And I used to laugh at the resolutions, because wasn't much of a resolution, right? It only lasted a couple of weeks. And, you know, they'd hire a personal trainer, and they'd get them in a new regimen, and they'd get all excited, woohoo! And then, you know, you lose 1 pound over 4 weeks, and all the blood, sweat, and tears, and you're like, this isn't worth it. And by February, back to the same old lifestyle, because it takes a lot of commitment to have a new lifestyle. It takes commitment to make changes. It's a devotion to make new habits that are meaningful in our lives, and they're not easy. Well, I'm no health coach, as my spreading middle will tell you, but I'm not here to motivate you physically today. As important as that is, we all need to take care of our bodies because of the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6. But Paul also wrote this, and it's where I want us to focus today as we think about our new year. Paul said, discipline yourself. How many of us like that word, discipline? Not too many, right? Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Bodily discipline is of little profit. It's good to take care of our temple. But godliness is profitable for all things, everything in our life, since it holds the promise for this life, what we experience now, but also for the eternal life to come. Well, how do we do that? What's it look like to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness? What does it look like for a Christian to grow every day, every week, every month? Are there spiritual habits that you and I can invest in regularly so that we become more like Jesus Christ? Well, the short answer is an obvious yes. There are spiritual habits that you and I can do on a regular basis to help us grow in our faith. But before we explore several of them, I want to be sure that we all understand the value and the importance of these spiritual disciplines. Why should you cultivate these things in your lives? Why should you put forth effort to make these habits not something that just lasts a couple of weeks like the workout crowd at the YMCA? So let me suggest three reasons why you should invest in some new spiritual habits in 2021. Number one, Jesus modeled spiritual disciplines in his life every day. Remember, at the very beginning of his ministry, he started out by fasting for 40 days. Jesus quoted scripture regularly. Yes, when he was being tempted by Satan, he quoted scripture. But if you read through the Gospels of Jesus' life, he quoted scripture all the time. He had a lot of it committed to memory. He devoted himself to prayer. We see repeatedly in the Gospels, Jesus would get up very early in the morning and go out away from the crowds, away from the people, even away from the disciples, to have time alone to pray. Jesus committed himself consistently to worship. We find he was always in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He was always in the temple during the important periods of the time in the year when Jews were required to go to the temple and sacrifice and praise and worship. Jesus was continually serving others as a part of his spiritual discipline. He sacrificed himself very much. And if you read the Gospels, you'll see very early in the morning, he got up to pray. But as soon as he came back from prayer, people were waiting. And all day long, well into the evening hours, he would be healing and teaching and preaching and putting arms around people and encouraging them and loving them. He devoted himself to serve them. And he was always with other people, always. He was always looking for opportunities to teach, to encourage, to love, to support. Whether that was over a meal, whether that was walking from one town to another, wherever he was, Jesus was always cultivating these habits, not in his own, only in his own life, but he was modeling it for the disciples, for the people around him. So we need to cultivate spiritual habits first because Jesus did it and modeled it for us. Secondly, it's how we all grow. These spiritual habits that I'm going to encourage us to build into our lives today are for the purpose of growth. Excuse me. It's not so that you can have these habits and at the end of the day you can sort of check off on your to-do list, hey, I did my spiritual habits today with Jesus. That's not the purpose of having these habits in your life. The purpose of these spiritual habits is to grow, to become more mature in the faith. The Apostle Paul wrote, God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. Well, that's a big word. And if you're a new believer, you may not know what sanctification means. So here's a simple definition from Bible scholar Wayne Grudem. He says, sanctification is a progressive work of God. In other words, it's ongoing. It's a regular work that God does in our hearts. And it's something that we coordinate and participate and work alongside of with God that makes us more and more free from sin. In other words, the more we cultivate these habits in our lives, we're going to sin less and we're going to be more like Christ in our lives. So sanctification is over the lifetime, we become more and more like Jesus over time. We become more like him the more we practice these disciplines. And it's not just a one-time event where you practice some habit and then all of a sudden God supernaturally imposes you with a brand new you, and you never have to practice those disciplines again. They're meant to be ongoing daily habits for all of us to build in our lives. Paul also wrote, this is the will of God, your sanctification. I don't know any Christian that doesn't want to know God's will for their life, right? Everybody, all of us, we always ask that, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's your will for me, God? And here it is, right here in Scripture. Paul tells us, God's will for every one of us, for our lives, if we believe in Jesus Christ, it's that we be sanctified, that we be growing on a regular basis. So God's goal for you and me each day is we take a step forward in becoming more and more mature the longer that we live. Third reason to practice and cultivate spiritual habits is it's a desire to please God. Jesus says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them is like the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Sanctification is becoming more and more like Jesus. It's a desire to be obedient to him. That's what Jesus is telling us here in the text. When we think about God's commandments, when he says, I want you to be sanctified, we want to please God. We want God to look at us and be pleased with who we are. And the more we practice these disciplines, the more we become like Jesus. And God is pleased with us as we set ourselves to obey what he's called us to do. So what are these spiritual habits? Well, first of all, Scripture has a lot of them. We would never have time to cover all of them today. So I'm going to cover four spiritual habits that I think are very important for us. They're all biblical in one way or another, and they've been practiced by the church since the time of Christ. We can go back over the last 2,000 years of history, and I can show you how Christians of every generation have built these practices into their lives. So the first, and I think is the most important, is devoting yourselves every day to reading some passage of Scripture. The purpose of opening God's Word every day is very simple. We can't know what God's Word is if we don't open it and read it and figure out some application to our lives. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So God has given us Scripture, his Word. And it doesn't do us much good if it just sits on our coffee table or our office table or on our bookshelf in our house somewhere. He intends for us every day to open it up and to read it, to take it in, and to use it for our own growth. Now, as you read, God doesn't just intend for us to read a chapter a day and then again say we can check that off our spiritual list. The idea is that as you read it, identify areas that you can apply to your life. And as you're reading it, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, you've inspired the prophets and the apostles to write these words. You had a purpose for us in mind. So show me, Lord, what that process is. And let me suggest you might use this acronym to help you as you're reading scripture. I find it helpful when I'm reading to just run through six areas as you read a scripture. Ask yourself, is there a sin to confess as you've read that chapter? Is there something that jumps out of the page that is a sin in your life and you know you need to confess it? Or is there a worship step to take? Is there something in that chapter or passage that calls you to worship God? Is there an instruction to obey? In other words, is there some command that God simply says to follow that command? Is there a promise to claim? Is there something in that text that's a promise for us to stand on? When times get challenging and tough, we can come back to those promises and stand on them and be firm in our faith. Is there some example to follow? In some cases, Scripture gives us a great example. We can be like Abraham or David or Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah. And sometimes there's examples not to follow. Don't be like these guys. Do the opposite of what they did. And is there something to thank God for in the passage, in the text? So let's go through swipes just a little bit slowly to illustrate, because that may not be clear to you how you would do it. So let's assume today, this week, you've said, I'm going to read through the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read a chapter a day. Let's assume today you're reading chapter 4 and you come to this section of chapter 4. It says this, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So as you read through chapter 4 and you say, Lord, what do you want me to apply in my life? Or how does this apply to me? And you just start saying, Lord, what's this mean for me? And then sure enough, the Holy Spirit brings to mind, you remember yesterday at work, there was a couple coworkers when you're getting your, lunch break. And somebody told a joke, and then somebody else told a joke, and you were laughing all along, and then you told a joke that wasn't appropriate for us as Christians to be telling. Yeah, that's unwholesome talk. That's an unwholesome word. And Lord, I read this, and I'm just reminded now, Lord, that was sinful, and I'm sorry I did it. God, forgive me for that. So sometimes as we read Scripture, there'll be sins that the Bible says don't do these things, and we're all sinners, and we sometimes do things God tells us not to do. So sometimes there's sins to confess as you read the Scripture and use that as a guidepost to your life to say, Lord, I'm repenting. I'm asking for your forgiveness of those sins. Or maybe the text that you're reading for the day, say you've set aside this month, I'm going to read through the Gospel of Mark. There's 16 chapters in Mark. So if you read a half a chapter a day, roughly, you could read through the whole Gospel in a month. And let's assume today you come to chapter 9 and you're reading this, which says 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he brought them to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became radiant and exceedingly white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. So again, you're letting this come to your mind. Lord, this is an awesome story. Here's Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and they have this incredible opportunity to see Moses and Elijah, who were thousands of years before them. What's that mean for me, Lord? Well, here we have an opportunity to worship. God, thank you that the disciples were able to see your true glory. For just a few moments, the veil of Christ's humanity was pulled back. And they could see the true nature of Jesus Christ in his glorified state. And God, someday that's going to be me. Someday, Lord, you're going to call me home. And I'm going to stand before you. And I'm going to praise you just as Peter, James, and John did on the mountain. God, thank you. I cannot wait for that day that I can bow at your feet and worship just like Peter, James, and John did. Continuing to read through the Gospel of Mark, let's say you come now to chapter 11. Today you're reading chapter 11 and you come to this verse, Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Well, the application there is pretty clear, isn't it? It's an instruction for us to follow. And so you just begin saying, Lord, have I hurt somebody? Or has somebody hurt me? Is there a person that has really wronged me in a way? Maybe they've taken advantage of me financially. Maybe they've spoken some unkind and untrue words about me and gossiped about me to other people. And you can forgive them right there. Jesus said, when you stand praying, when you come to me in worship, when you're talking to your Heavenly Father, forgive anyone who has sinned against you. Or maybe you've said, this month I'm going to study through the book of 2 Corinthians. And so you come to chapter 5, and there's this wonderful promise for you to claim that says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature or new creation. The old things are gone, they're passed away, and behold, new things have come. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Isn't that a beautiful promise when we feel so beaten down by the world and the overwhelming stress of the things that we're all going through? We can stand on this wonderful promise that Jesus made us new. We're not some old relic. We're a new creature in Christ. He's made us into that. Behold, new things have come. God, thank you. What a wonderful promise to stand on. And sometimes in Scripture, there'll be an example for us to follow. Most of you know the story of Joseph. His 11 brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. And for a long time, he was in Egypt. He was put in jail. He had to endure all kinds of hardships. And at the end of the book of Genesis, we see Joseph tell his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me. You wanted me to be destroyed. You'd have been happy if I would have died. But God meant what you guys did to me in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. And so Joseph was sold into slavery, and for years, things didn't look good in his life. But the wonderful example is Joseph forgave his brothers, and he could see that his hardship, God was turning out for the good, even in the end. And so that's an encouragement to us, Lord. Sometimes people do hard things to us, and there's a purpose in it, Lord. There's a reason for it, and we know you're not going to waste any situation that we go through. And so, God, I'm going to be like Joseph. I'm going to trust that I can be like him. And finally, the last part of swipes, is there something to thank God for in the text? So if you're reading through Luke chapter 19 today, and we come to verse 10, which says, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. I can thank God for that, because I was once a lost sinner, like all of us, right? We were once all lost. And somehow the Word of God came alive to us. God, thank you. I thank you that a friend of mine, when I was a teenager, shared the gospel with me that led me to come and know Jesus Christ as Savior. God, thank you that you sought me out, a lost teenage kid, and helped me to find hope and purpose in you. So that's the first spiritual discipline, scripture reading, and I think it's the most important of all the spiritual habits that you can cultivate. Commit to every day opening God's Word and reading it. I would suggest a chapter a day. And if you don't know where to start, my favorite place is the Gospel of Luke. Start with Luke chapter 1. Read through the end of Luke. When you get finished with Luke, go back and read it again. It'll take you 3 weeks to read through Luke. And then go back and read it a second time. And after you read it a second time, go back and read it through a third time. And it will be amazing how it comes alive to you. Every day, be practicing the swipes. Lord, is there a sin to confess? Is there something for me to worship you? Is there some instruction to follow? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there something to thank God for as I'm reading this? Or maybe you really understand who Jesus was, so you want to get something deep in theology, so you're going to read through the book of Romans. Or maybe worship is an area of weakness in your life, so maybe you'll read through the book of Psalms. It'll take you 3 months, 4 months to read through the book of Psalms if you read a chapter a day. Open God's Word, commit to read a significant chunk of it, a chapter a day, every day, as we head into this new year. All right, the second spiritual discipline, and this may be new to some of you. It was new to me when I was taught this discipline this summer. It's something that's called a breath prayer. It's something that Christians have done, again, going way back to the first century. The purpose of a breath prayer is to help you keep your focus on the Lord throughout the day, especially when the times get challenging or stressful, when anxiety raises up inside of you, when there's a time of testing, when you're being pushed to your max. Maybe when there's a temptation that you're vulnerable to, the breath prayer can help you through any situation and circumstance that you're faced with. So the biblical basis for a breath prayer says this, 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So God calls us to pray all the time. Now, we can't always stop, bow our heads, get out our scriptures, read a chapter, meditate upon it, think through swipes. I mean, that's just not possible, right? In the work setting, in our home setting, our environment, whatever. There's going to be times when you can't just pause for even a minute or two and refocus your effort. You have to be making snap decisions along the way throughout the day. But you can do a breath prayer in the midst of that. You can stop and pause and just literally, as fast as you breathe, 1 or 2 or 3 seconds, you can pray and invite God to help you through it. And there's a lot of different ways to practice it. I'll tell you my favorite way that I found most helpful, and maybe you can do this with me. Find a verse that's meaningful to you that you're going to memorize. So typically what I'll do is I'll just take an old business card, you know, you pick it up at somebody's shop or at Rutter's or wherever, and just flip over the back of the business card and write the scripture down, and I just stick it in my pocket. And then every time you reach in to pull out your phone or your wallet or your keys, just pull that card out and read it and memorize that scripture. That's step one. Get that committed to your mind. So the scripture that I memorized a long time ago is Psalm 16:8. I've continually set the Lord before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So think about that. For in a really stressful time in your life, something's really difficult, and your buttons are being pushed, and you can feel the anger rising up inside of you. Just pause for 2 seconds. I've continually set the Lord before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. What is that, 2-3 seconds to say that? You can just feel, because I've been doing this a long time, you can just feel the presence of God come over you as you quote his word. So find a scripture that's meaningful to you. Maybe for some of you it would be Matthew chapter 6. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Or maybe something more worshipful that invites the presence of God into you. Revelation 4, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Or maybe Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Something a little shorter. You can say it a little bit more quickly. Find a verse that's meaningful to you. Build it into your mind. Memorize it. And when you find yourself coming under pressure, whatever that pressure looks like, then just breathe that out to God. Pray that out as to him as a prayer. Now, there's a related prayer to the breath prayer, and it's called the centering prayer. Typically, it's a little bit longer. Its purpose of the centering prayer is to redirect attention of your mind and your heart toward the Lord. So you want to seek to quiet your attitude. Maybe you just got an overwhelming sense of somebody's wronged you, and there is anger that is, you're about to boil over. And a quick breath prayer, a quick one verse of scripture isn't going to quiet that inside of you. So that's where the centering prayer would come in. The biblical basis for this is, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So here's my centering prayer, what I pray all the time. If I'm being tested or tempted or anger or whatever the situation is that rolls up inside of me, I say this: Lord, Holy Spirit, I invite you to take control of my mind, take control of my body, take control of my spirit. I yield it all to you. And it doesn't have to be exactly the same. You know, you get the idea. I'm consciously making a decision, Lord, if I'm left to my flesh in this moment, I'm going to do something I'm not going to be proud of. So if I can just pause for 10 seconds and make this my prayer, Holy Spirit, I give my mind, my body, my spirit, Lord, I yield it all to you. Take control of me. It just changes the perspective in a second. If I can remember to pray it, and oftentimes that's the biggest thing, is remembering it. And I base that prayer on the verse in Galatians 5:16, which says, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out or gratify, some translations say, the desires of the flesh. Here's another example. A friend does this one. He prays this, Holy Spirit, guide me to bear fruit in all that I say and do. He's aware that his countenance, his face, might not always radiate the fact that he's a believer. So he prays, Holy Spirit, just take control. Guide me. I want to bear fruit for you. And the obvious scriptural basis for that is Galatians 5:22, which says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Say it with me, church. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When I learned this spiritual habit this summer, it really changed my prayer life. You know, prayer doesn't have to be something you sit down and you bow your head and you get quiet and you get on your knees and it can be that, and it is that, and it's important at times to do that. But we can't do that all day long. But we can pray the centering prayer repeatedly, many times throughout the day. Some of the older generations would pray this prayer in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, and before bedtime. They would recenter themselves four specific times a day. And we know Daniel did, for example. You know the story. Daniel set himself apart three times a day to pray. He would get himself refocused, recentered, repurposed, right on the direction of God. Fourth spiritual habit that I want to talk to you about today, and please don't dismiss me right out because I know how a lot of you feel about fasting. The purpose of fasting is to give up something, to forgo something, in order to devote ourselves fully to hearing from the Lord. All of us need to hear from God every day. We need the power of his presence. And there's something amazing that God does in us when we fast regularly that changes and conforms us. And some will say, well, we don't need to fast today. That was the old covenant. That was the Old Testament. That was the old things. But I want to challenge that belief with the words of Jesus. Notice what he said. The text is very clear. Jesus said, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. He didn't say if you fast, or if you think about fasting, or if maybe this week you have some extra time and you might decide to fast. No. Jesus said, when you fast. The expectation is that all of us as believers will fast. We will set ourselves apart at times for fasting. And there's a lot of different ways that you can fast. Because I know some of you can't fast food and drink because of medical situations. So I'll give you some avenues of ways that you can fast. So traditional fasting is giving up food and drink for one or more meals a day. And the goal is not just to give up the food. The goal is to take that time when you would have spent preparing the meal and enjoying the meal. That's 10 minutes, 30 minutes, however long that period is. Replace that time with a time of prayer. Not just, okay, I'm going to give up food today. That's awesome. I'm going to do that as a devotion to the Lord. That's great. But use that now found time that you have in your schedule to devote to prayer. Maybe mix in the spiritual habit of reading your chapter and then just devote yourself for that period of time. Lord, I'm just going to talk to you. And I want to hear from you. Speak to my heart. Some people, and we have really good friends, a husband and wife, a couple, that they do this every January for 3 weeks. They restrict their diets to only fruits and vegetables for an extended period of time. For them, it's 3 weeks, 21 days. Some people call this the Daniel fast. It's right out of Daniel chapter 1. You remember the story? Daniel and the Israelites were taken in captivity to Babylon, and Daniel and his brothers were being forced in the king's court to eat the king's food, which was defiled. It was not right for an Israelite to eat that food. And so Daniel said to the king and to his court, we won't eat that food. We'll restrict our diet for a purpose because God has called us to not eat those foods and to eat these foods, traditionally thought of as fruits and vegetables. And at the end of the period, Daniel and his brothers were more healthy than those who were eating the king's food. So for some of you, maybe you can't give up all food, but you can restrict your diet to fruits and vegetables for a longer period of time. That's an awesome way to fast. Another way to fast is to abstain from TV and social media, radio, from music, from turning off our cell phones. Tony Renke, in a recent book that he wrote, says the average person today spends 50 minutes on social media every day. Now, that study was based in 2016, so I suspect it's even higher today than it was back in 2016. So think about that. That's six hours a week. 6 hours a week on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and MeWe and TikTok, and I don't even know what all the social media things are today, but you get the idea. We all complain we don't have enough time, right? Everybody says, I don't have time to do what I want to do. If we're spending 6 hours on average, some more, some less, but 6 hours a week, think about that time, what you could do with those times if you just turn it off. Even once a week, I'm going to turn off social media today. I'm going to turn off my cell phone for today. I'm going to turn off the internet for today. I'm going to not watch TV for today. I'm going to turn off the radio and use that time to pray, even when I'm in my car. Fasting is an important discipline for all of us, and I can only just speak what it's meant to Heidi and me over the years when we commit ourselves regularly and frequently to extended times of fasting. It's amazing what God does in our hearts and how he aligns us with his will simply by saying we're gonna fast regularly. Maybe you'll join Heidi and me this year as we set aside time regularly. We don't fast every week. We don't even fast every month, but for some seasons, we'll fast for 6 months once a week for an extended period of time just to hear from the Lord and to be guided by his presence. So maybe that would be you. Maybe God's calling you to some type of fast regularly in this new year. I want to recommend two books to you that have been helpful to me, very helpful to me. First one is called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. This is an amazing book to find how much our phone has changed us. You know, we sort of have been using them for the last 30 years. We've all been carrying cell phones 25 years. And we don't think about the evolution of, used to be back in the day, it was just a ringer, you know, just got telephones. And then texting started. And then we could get emails. And then we could surf the internet. And we could do all kinds of other things. And so Tony does a really good job of talking through how our phone is changing us. In a lot of cases, not for the good, not for the better. There's a lot of awesome things our phone can do, and we can use it gratefully, and we should use it. But sometimes we need to be aware of it. So if your phone is a challenge for you, then pick up this book. It's $12 at christianbook.com. Really helpful, really insightful book. Secondly, second book I want to commend to you in the new year. It's called The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook or Spiritual Habits Handbook. It's $18 at christianbook.com. In this book, it has 85 different spiritual disciplines, spiritual habits that you can do. I've only mentioned four of them this morning. There's 81 more in here. I know some of you are very artistic and get easily bored. So doing the same old spiritual habits day after day, week after week, month after month, that might not be refreshing and joyful and invigorating to you. Great. Pick up this book. There's 85 in here. I guarantee you there'll be ones that you've never heard of. I mean, I've been a Christian since I was a teenager, and that half of these I never heard of, like the breath prayer and the centering prayer. I'd never heard of them until I read the book. Very helpful, very insightful, very life-changing. So if you find yourself in a spiritual rut, pick up that book, and if you can't afford it, see me. I'll get you a copy. I bought a couple extra copies, and I have them. I've been using them with a couple of men that I meet with, finding it very insightful and very helpful, the guys that I'm working with. And I know how it has impacted me personally. So as 2021 begins, I just want to challenge you with this question. Have you, by faith, trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Have you confessed your sins to him? Have you received from him the free gift of eternal life? That's step one in the spiritual disciplines. That's step one in sanctification. We can't grow in our faith if we don't have any faith at all. So if you've not professed Christ as Savior, then do it today. See Pastor Jerry or me after the service, and we'll share with you and give you some things to help you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Secondly, I just want to challenge you to evaluate your personal spiritual health right now. On a simple scale, 1 to 10, how are you doing? Are you rocking it? Man, you and the Lord, or you know, the old song, Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Is that you? If that's you, praise the Lord, man. If you're a 9 or 10, awesome. Because I know some of you are. You're walking with Jesus every day, and it's a joy, and the fruit of the Spirit is coming out of you. It's reflected on your face. You're impacting the people around you. Praise God for that. But some of us, if we're honest, we're like a 3 right now. 2020's taken a toll on us. And we need a reboot. We need a restart. So great. And today is the Holy Spirit's challenge. It's been a challenge to me to put this together. I want to be different. When we stand here next year this time and we talk about 2022, I don't want to be where I'm at today. Hopefully, I've taken some steps of growth along the way. So what do you need to reprioritize in your life for 2021? How do you build these or other habits? If these four haven't connected with you, then pick up this book and find a couple of that will connect with you. How much time are you spending on your phone? We all get those things at the end of the week. Mine comes on Sunday morning. How much time have you spent using your phone every day? And it tells you. You spent so many minutes in phone calls, so many minutes texting, spent so many minutes on Facebook, and so many minutes on Fox News, and so many, whatever things you use, it tells you that report. And just ask yourself, is that the best use of my time every day? Can I take a chunk of that time and just turn my phone off so that I can have some time alone with the Lord? Are you willing to start a new spiritual habit this week? If so, which one? Pick one. Pick one of the four. Or maybe if you're brave and courageous and really feeling today, pick two. Work it out daily for you. Find that way that you're going to connect with the Lord every day. And then the challenge is, share it with somebody. Share it with somebody you know, your spouse, one of your kids, a friend, somebody in your small group, somebody in your men's group, somebody in your women's group, a spiritual mentor for you, whoever that may be, share it and say, this year I'm going to commit to read a chapter every day in 2021. So by next year this time, I will have read 365 chapters of the Bible. Woohoo! Awesome. Praise the Lord. Whatever you feel God calling you to invest in spiritually, commit to it and talk to somebody about it so that they can hold you accountable and encourage you through that. And if you don't do it every day, that's fine. This is not to be a legalistic thing of make you feel bad. Hey, I didn't read my chapter this week and now God's going to hate me. No, that's not how it works. The goal is that we build these habits into our lives because we want to be closer to Jesus. So whether that's fasting or praying or reading scripture, the whole goal is to become more like Christ. Are you excited for the new year? I am. I'm ready to see what God has for each of you and for me, for our families in this new year. God, thank you for challenging us today to be growing. Lord, it's so easy to just get stuck in the same old routine. You know, the sun comes up in the morning, we hurry off to work, we get about our daily chores, we come home in the evening, we have our dinner, we watch an hour or two of television, scroll through social media, we head off to bed, and then the next morning we're back to the same routine. And pretty soon we're just feel like we're on a treadmill and we're not making any progress. And God, we don't want to be like that spiritually, Lord. We want to every day grow closer to you. We want to have a more intimate and near and dear relationship with you. And so, God, you challenge us to put ourselves in your word. You challenge us to pray regularly, consistently, ongoing, every day. Lord, you challenge us at times to fast and set aside personal pleasures for the purpose of growing closer to you. God, every day you call us to worship in new and fresh and different ways. There's so many other disciplines that we can build into our lives, Lord, that are helpful, that make us grow, that make us become more like you. So God, give us the will, the desire, and help us to commit ourselves to these habits in this new year. That as the year grows, we know your word better. We know your will better. We can hear your voice more clearly. And Lord, you've promised that if we keep asking, if we keep seeking, if we keep knocking, you are going to respond to us. So God, we want to do that in this new year. God, our desire is that next year, this time, we will be more mature in our faith. We'll know your will better for our lives. And we'll be more like your son. God, help us to do that. And help us to come alongside of someone who's really struggling and needs the encouragement. Maybe we can do it with them and encourage them by reading the scriptures together, by praying together, by helping them through it. Lord, show us how we can come alongside somebody else and invest in these habits in the new year. Now, Lord, we want to lift up our time of intercession to you and pray for those in our church and our community as Brother Joe comes to lift up those prayers just now.